We're very thankful for this precious opportunity God's given us to meet together here in His house. It's good to see each one of you. I know we have some folks on the outside of the building today in their vehicles listening on the AM radio transmitter. And even though they're not in the building with us, they are here with us today worshiping the Lord. And I want to give them an opportunity to let you in the inside of the building know that they're out there by asking them to blow their horn. Just let us know that you're out there. All right. I often say this, if I say anything that's good, just blow that horn and let everybody know I said something good. If I say something that's not good, don't blow your horn, okay? Got more horn blows on that one than I did the first quest. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I trust that you do. If you do not, I'd like to encourage you to start bringing your Bible to the house of the Lord. Turn with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. The 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. These verses that we're going to look at this morning, I have quoted these verses many times in trying to preach, but I've never looked at these verses the way we're going to look at these verses today. And if I had a title for our effort this morning, the title would probably be Keeping the Right Attitude in Our Service to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration of Spirit and says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." We trust the Lord would add His rich blessings to the reading of His word. Keeping the right attitude in our service to the Lord. Keeping the right attitude as Jesus' disciples in this world. You know, when we go from this point forward in this letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the brothers and sisters of the church at Ephesus, you know, the Apostle Paul would exhort wives to be what they should be as wives. Then he would exhort husbands to be what they should be as husbands. He'd even address children in the congregation to, you know, to honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Then he finally addressed the entire congregation. You know, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, encouraging them to be in prayer and supplication and service to one another. You know, if there's anything that I've learned in my brief time here on this earth, is people have to have the right attitude before you can begin to instruct them and exhort them in what they should do. You know, I've enjoyed this fall in trying to coach youth soccer here in Union County. And this was something I knew even before I stepped on the field the first time this fall. If the kids don't have the right attitude, I'm not going to be able to instruct them in the right way. Having the right attitude sets us up for really receiving proper instruction and exhortation. But I think we could all agree that the past year and a half and 2 years, enough has happened to cause us all to have a bad attitude. You know, this region here, the Apostle Paul writes to, is a region that had enough going on to cause them to have a bad attitude. Have you ever read Acts chapter 19 when the Apostle Paul comes here to Ephesus and preaches the gospel? I mean, this city and this region had corruption on multiple levels. Turn there to Acts 19 with me real quick, and I'd like for you just to notice this. And this is something else that I've quoted in the pulpit, but never noticed like I have in the last few weeks as we looked at this portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. If you'd look with me on verse 9 of Acts chapter 19. But when divers were hardened, that's multiple people were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And that name Tyrannus literally means he was a tyrant. I mean, can you imagine a school named a tyrant? You know, when you really think about this and study that verse, it's easy to see that this region, they had some corruption on an educational level. You know, not only were there people in Ephesus that had things wrong, but there were people in Ephesus teaching the children and the young people in this region a lot that was just wrong. Not only did this people suffer from a lot of corruption on the educational level, but also on a religious level. Look with me at verse 19. And many of them also which use curious arts. That curious arts is black magic. Black magic is real. You know, there's a lot that you see on TV late at night, you know, hey, call a certain person up and they'll, you know, read your palm, tell your fortune, all this, these tarot cards. You know, a lot of that's just a bunch of baloney. And I'm spelling baloney, B-A-L-O-N-E-Y. It's a bunch of baloney. It's just people trying to get your money. Some of this is real. This out there. I remember many years ago I was in a state trying to preach and I was riding in a car with a pastor and we went by a house and, you know, had this madam and this palm up there, you know, come and read your fortune. And the preacher said, hey, Brother Ronnie, you want to go in here and know something about your future? I said, I'm having too much trouble in my past. I don't want to know anything about my future. Some of that's real, but it's not of God. It's not of God. So not only do we have corruption on an educational level, we can see corruption on a religious level, and the city was also filled with idolatry. Not only was it filled with idolatry, people were financially prospering from the idolatry. Notice with me in verse 24, and there was a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines unto Diana, you know, the goddess of fertility. And he brought no small gain of the craftsmen. And not only that, there was other people in the same occupation. So you had corruption not only on an educational level, also on a religious level, and people prospering from the corruption of the religion in that area. There's also a lot of corruption on a societal level. If you'll notice in verse 29, when there's a big stir about the Apostle Paul and him preaching the gospel, they all went in one accord into this theater. This theater, of course, was part of the entertainment that existed there with the Grecians and the Romans. They'd have the orchestras. They'd also use it for, I'm sure, games for people to watch. You know, people in that society were probably more concerned about, you know, being entertained and enjoying the amusements more so than they were having an understanding of what was right. I don't know if you've thought much about that word amuse. You know, the word muse literally means to think or meditate. You remember they mused of John the Baptist, if he was the Messiah or no? The monosyllable A applied to any word implies no or not. Like someone that's ordinary, typical, they're called a typical person. Someone that's not ordinary is called atypical, atypical, not ordinary. Amuse. Muse means to think and meditate. Amuse literally means no thinking. And so this area here was given to a lot of no thinking. And when people are not thinking, it's easy for them to be overthrown by false information. I don't think I'd have to convince anyone in this room there's also a lot of corruption on a political level because, you know, Rome, the Grecians, I mean, they are notorious for being corrupt on a political level. There were also a lot of tension in this area even because of people of different races. If you'll notice with me in verse 33 and 34, Alexander, who is more than likely the brother of Rufus, he's the son of Simon the Cyrenian. You remember Simon the Cyrenian, they compelled him to bear the cross after Jesus. And the Gospel of Mark teaches us he had two sons, Rufus and Alexander. you go to Romans chapter 16, you'll read about Rufus. You know, that experience of Simon had such an effect on him, also had an effect on his sons. And Rufus was a disciple there in the church at Rome. Alexander here, he was a disciple for a little while, but maybe because of this, some events happened after this, he turned away from that discipleship. I guess the road of a discipleship was too rugged for him. But if you'll notice, he was there arguing at that time, but verse 34 says, when they knew he was a Jew, that stopped it all. They didn't want to hear anything else he had to say. So in all this tension that's going on here in this city, all this corruption, and this church is there, it was enough for people to get discouraged, down and out, and even get a bad attitude. I mean, can you just imagine living in this environment? Oh, you can. Can't you imagine living in that environment? We live in it every day. We live in an environment that has corruption on an educational level. We have corruption on a religious level. We have corruption on a political level. We have corruption on a societal level. And we have to live in it. And it's easy for us. And I'm going to tell you, in the last 2 years, it's been brought right to the forefront. It's enough people just get a bad attitude and say, you know what, just give it up. Y'all can have it. So the Apostle Paul was writing to these people in this environment, trying to encourage them and direct them in such a way that they would have something accessible to them to help them have the right attitude in their service to the Lord. You know, it's been said that life is about 10% concerning what happens to you and 90% about how you respond to what happens to you. You know, how we respond to what happens to us can really have a lot to mold the way we are as individuals. You know, I enjoy giving pregame speeches to the soccer teams and even postgame speeches. And, you know, it's important to have someone to encourage kids when they just come out of a rough and bad game. Keep the right attitude. It's tough for kids sometimes to understand how things can go that wrong. And I'm supposed to show up with a smile to the next practice. It's also tough for adults to live in a difficult environment, to see what they see, to face what they face, and to get up the next morning with a smile. I read a story once about a little boy. His mama said, cheer up, it's going to get better. And he said, Mom, I did cheer up, and it didn't get better. The Apostle Paul here from verse 14 to verse 17 contrasts different attitudes. Then he said, awake thou that sleepest. He's referring to someone that's alert versus someone that's in slumber. You know, it's difficult sometimes when you go through a lot of hard times to stay alert. You know, what's the word that it's depression? We get depressed. We get down and out and we just... If you ever got down and out about something, you just want to stay in bed. Hey, I just want to not let today happen. Paul said we need to awake and not be in a state of slumber. And Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, he contrasts something else. Walking circumspectly and walking these fools. What's circumspectly? What does that mean? Circumspectly. Circular spectacles. Meaning being aware and giving attention to everything around you. Circumspectly, circular spectacles. You know, spectacles is watching, seeing, circles around you. Not only be alert, but be aware of your surroundings. And don't be a fool. You know, don't be a fool and just walk around thinking, oh, well, my response didn't have anything to do with anything. There's no sense in me even trying. Verse 16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. That contrast is redeeming the time or just wasting time. How many times have I quoted the text there in Psalms 39 and verse 5 about our brief time that we have on earth? Are we taking advantage of the time we have to be an example, to serve the Lord, to give glory to Him, to show the world that having a right attitude can have an effect, or are we just wasting time? I'll confess to you, I've wasted a lot of time in my life. And people that waste time usually have the wrong attitude. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Are we following God's will, or are we just walking by the beat of our own drum? A person who lives life walking by the beat of his own drum, he's going to have the wrong attitude. But someone that understands, I could know what the will of God is for my temporal life. This is his temporal will. I mean, when we consider the will of God, it comes in two contexts in the Bible. You have his decreed will, that's his fixed will, and you have his temporal will, and that's the way he deals with us as children here in this temporal world. Temporal meaning time, here in this temporal time. And that word is used there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17-18. So the Apostle Paul is contrasting things that are evidences of a good attitude, things that are associated with having a bad attitude. And don't you know the people are like, we want to have a good attitude. What can we do to have a better attitude? Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, do you want to have a better attitude in your service to the Lord? Do you want to have a better attitude around your fellow disciples? Do you want to have a better attitude in living in a world, even though the world has gone wrong? Do you want to have a good attitude in a world that's gone wrong? I do. I want to have a good attitude. Because I know I just got this little short time here on this earth. And I don't want to end up in this cemetery and at my funeral service, somebody says, you know, Brother Ronnie Tribe, man, he had a bad attitude. I don't want that said about me. Yeah, I remember my dad, when he died, he asked Elder Kerry Lathrop to preach his funeral. And Daddy told Brother Kerry, he said, I want you to preach the gospel, preach the truth, preach what we believe. And he said, if you got some time left over, say something good about me. And Brother Kerry said, what if I can't think of anything good to say about you, Brother Marvin? Daddy said, well, just start telling some lies then. I don't want anyone to say about me. Brother Ronnie just had a bad attitude. So what can we do to have a better attitude? Notice verse 19 when the Apostle Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you find that amazing that he draws your attention to singing and not to preaching? You know, there was preachers here at the church of Ephesus. Why didn't he draw the attention to the preaching of the gospel? But you know, the church had deacons. Why didn't he draw the attention to the efforts of the deacons? And you deacons, no. He brought everyone's attention to something that everyone is able to do. You know, God calls his preachers to preach the gospel. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think we probably got some trying in America that probably were not called. As someone says, it was more of a local calling than it was a long-distance calling. I hope by my efforts you're able to see that the Lord called me to preach. Not everyone can preach. Not everyone in the congregation is a deacon of the church. I'm very thankful for the deacons we have. But not everyone can be a deacon. But everyone in the church can sing. You can all sing. And if anyone ever tells anyone in this building you can't sing, or the devil whispers in your ear you can't sing, that is a lie. We can all sing. We all, every child of God in this building has something in us that's able to come out into this grace of God. The grace of God is in us and it can come out. And someone might say, well, Brother Ronnie, I sing a little out of tune. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just trust the people that can sing in tune to drown out maybe those that sing out of tune, and let's just all get together. And you know, I've said this about me playing music. You know, people say, well, Brother Ron, don't you like to play music? Yeah, I like to play music. Sometimes I leave one string out of tune just so it sounds like there's more pickers picking. I'm not worried about someone singing out of pitch. Just sing. You can sing to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, the point he's trying to make here is if you want to have a good attitude while living in this world, you need to be involved in worship. Worship. If we're more involved in worship, the worship of God, and less concerned about ourselves and the environment around us, we will have a better attitude in this world. If our mind is more focused on singing to God, and you'd say, Brother Ryan, I want to sing to God. Let me encourage you just a little bit to sing praise to God. God loved you before the world began. God loved you. Paul has told us that in Ephesians chapter 1, that he loved you and chose you before the foundation of the world. God loved you. You know, when God loved his people, it wasn't just like a sack of, you know, corn kernels. No, God loved his people individually.
And it just absolutely brings me to tears when I think about a God that filled all things, that made what we see with his fingers, that spoke, and it was, loved me, before the foundation of the world. A God that did not owe us anything. God has never owed man anything. A sovereign God that does as he pleases, loved me before the foundation of the world, and sent his Son into this world and died for me on the cross of Calvary. Remember the Apostle Paul said that in Galatians 2:20? He died for me. And you know, if it was just me that God had a desire to save, Jesus would have come in the world and just died for me. But the Bible teaches us that he loved his people out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, a number that no man can number, as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And Jesus came into the world to die for them. He suffered on the cross, not for some of your sins, but for all of your sins, so that we, the children of God, stand just and holy and without blame before the only courtroom that mattered. And that's the courtroom of heaven, where the God the Father is the judge. Jesus did that. That should be enough for me to be motivated to be involved in worship. And the more my mind is focused on worshiping him and focused on him, wow, the less the world around me matters. Philippians, notice with me in chapter 4 in verse 6. Paul writes to these Macedonian brethren and sisters, and he tells them in verse 6, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? That means don't be filled with cares. You know, there's nothing wrong with having concern, but we shouldn't be overly filled with care and worries. Being overly filled with cares and worries will end up because you have a bad attitude. Well, Brother Ronnie, what can we do not to be filled with all these cares and worries? Paul tells us, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen of me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What is he saying here? You want to prevent yourself from being full of worries and care? Get busy. How about getting busy with prayer? How about filling your mind up with good things and think about good things? How about doing those things we've been commanded to do in the service of God, those things that we've been taught? Be involved in worship, and it gives less room for all the problems of this world to take up space in your mind. What did Paul say there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26? Be angry, sin not, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any room. Well, Brother Ronnie, how can we not give him room? By filling our mind and time with good things. I love studying history. I do, and especially history during the time just before World War II. That era right there during World War II has always just gained my attention, because it's not just the atrocities, it's the environment of those countries and everything that happened, building up to what happened. I read some stories here recently of some of the conversations that people had with those that were involved in those concentration camps. And there was one particular individual, and he was actually at Buchenwald and also at Auschwitz concentration camp. And they were talking to him about the state of the people and how they were just down and discouraged and had given up. And he said, but you know, there's always people in there that always had better attitudes than others. Who was that? It was the people that were more concerned about serving others in the camps. They were more filled with doing and being involved and working. And he said, even though the environment was just awful, and he said, I couldn't even begin to explain it with words, but there were people that were able to keep their heads up because they stayed busy.
worshiping. That's why it's important for us to be at the house of God. That's why it's important for us to be concerned about the house of God, praying for the house of God, praying for the worship service, being involved, that our mind would be filled and consumed with good things. What else, Brother Ronnie? Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Second thing to keep in mind to help you with a good attitude is giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always being thankful for what you have. I tell you what, that'll help a bad attitude. Just thinking about what you have. Amen. I got an amen outside. Well, that improved your attitude. Just remembering and being thankful for what you have. You know, that was the focus of the Apostle Paul's letter to the brethren and sisters at Colossae. Have you ever read those four chapters of the book Colossians? Did you know there's no Bible evidence Paul ever even went to Colossae? There was a church there. And there was two men. Onesimus and Epaphroditus. They made a long journey from Colossae all the way to where Paul was in prison to get help for the church. They probably walked in ship probably 1,300 miles just to get help. Wow, boy, did they have a good attitude or what? Would they have a love for the church or what? Made that long journey just to get help for the church. You know, the Apostle Paul, one of the focuses of that is for them to be thankful for what they have. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in life. What is he saying? You need to give thanks to the Father because it's by his grace that you're able to partake of the spiritual things you're able to partake of. You need to give thanks to God for his grace. He's made me a child of God by his grace. Chapter 2 and verse 7, they rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And giving thanks, what? Being thankful for the truth that you've been blessed to have, the word of God that we have before us. Chapter 3 and verse 17, you're giving thanks to the Father for all things that we have. I mean, you know, this is the month where we have Thanksgiving. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, as far as all the holidays on our calendar here in the United States of America, I don't think there's one more scriptural than that Thanksgiving. That's stopping and just thanking God for all that we have. God has blessed us with so much. And when we think about what God has blessed us to have, what do we have to really complain about? This morning, I don't know a better place I'd rather be than here in the house of God with my friends. And you know what? We've got a lunch here. We're going to eat in more than just a few minutes because I'm going to preach a little longer. We have a lot to be thankful for. I got a precious wife, two precious kids, good friends, good place to go to church. I have a lot to be thankful for. I got a home that God blessed me to have. A lot to be thankful for. I have a lot to rejoice in. A lot to rejoice in. Do you know if this world took everything that we have, they cannot take things that we're able to rejoice in always? You know, Paul told the people at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you know you have something, brothers and sisters, you can rejoice in no matter where you are? According to Luke chapter 10, there, verse 21, we can rejoice always that our name is written in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. What that means is no matter what happens, I can rejoice in this. By God's grace, I've been made his son, a child of God, and I have a heavenly home this world cannot take away from me. You know, through taxation, I could lose my little house here in Sincerity Road, but I cannot lose my home in heaven because it's been bought for me and secured for me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am preserved in his hands forever and ever and ever, no matter what happens. I have that to look forward to be there in that glorious mansion on high with the Lord. The world can't take that from me. You know, the world can't take from me my experiences I've had with the Lord. You remember it's Hannah that rejoiced in the Lord's salvation there in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1. She had experiences the Lord blessed her to have. The world couldn't take it away from her. When I think about my life and times past, all God has done for me, the world can't take that from my mind. And no matter where I'm at in this world, I can look back and I can say, you know, God blessed me. And God took care of me. And God watched over me. And God carried me through the valley of this death.
made me rejoicing in God's word and him preserving the word. You know, David said, I think of Psalms 119, verse 162, I rejoice in thy word is one that findeth great spoil. David rejoiced in the word of God. And I can rejoice in God's word. You know, I've hid a lot of the word in my heart. See, the world can't take away that word I've hid in my heart. They may come into my house and take my Bible out of my house, but they can't take what I've hid in my heart. And I want to tell you, God has promised to preserve his word because he promised there will be his word somewhere on this planet when he comes back. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe God's word in the English language is this King James Bible that I've got before me. It's a word-for-word translation of the original text. And God promised to preserve it. I can rejoice in this no matter what happens in the world. There's one that reigns above them all, and that's the Lord. You know, David said that in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 31. No matter what happens, I can rejoice in this. The Lord omnipotent reigneth. And the king's heart is in his hands as the rivers of water, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. God is sovereign. And I can rejoice in that. I can be thankful for this knowledge and this hope that I have in him.
Paul said, you want to have a good attitude? Start being more thankful for what you have. Verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Not only should we be involved in worship, not only should we be thankful, but we should work harder to be better servants to one another. You know, it's tough to be disappointed when you don't walk in expecting something. You know the best way to be disappointed? Expect you deserve something. That's what Jesus taught us there in Luke chapter 14. If you get bidden to a wedding, don't go to the highest room. Because who knows, maybe one more important you will come in, they'll ask you to go to the lowest room. But when you come in, take the low seat. Take the low seat. Don't think a lot of yourself and don't think I deserve. Because that'll always end up in a bad attitude. I think we call that a spirit of entitlement. You know what causes a lot of bad attitudes? The spirit of entitlement. People thinking they deserve better than what they're getting. You know, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, you know, the Apostle Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If we think, I really don't deserve anything anyway, and what can I do to make someone else feel better? Wow. You talk about being blessed to have a good attitude while living in this world. You know, that's what I love about the foot washing service after communion. If you really consider what was done by the Lord on that night, and the Apostle Paul taught us this also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and you go through the chronology of everything that happened on that night when Jesus introduced the communion. I mean, they had Passover. Then Judas went out. Then Jesus presented communion. He took the elements of that table, which was unleavened bread and real wine. And then he arose and girded himself. They started washing feet. Jesus gave us this example after he gave us this ordinance that should be kept by the New Testament church. It's amazing that happened after that. Foot washing didn't happen before communion, but it happened after. Do you know why Jesus gave us this ordinance, this communion? To remind us what he done for us on the cross. You know why we have to be reminded about that? Because our mind is a leaking vessel. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 teaches us our brain, mind is nothing but a leaking vessel. You heard someone say that person is a crackpot? What does that mean? A crackpot is something that's cracked and everything's leaking out. You know what the truth is? We're all a bunch of crackpots. That's what we are. It's all leaking out of our minds. And I told someone once, my mind today at 52 is not less than what it was when I was 25. I just got a lot more to think about. I'm like a computer that's got a lot more programs on it. But my mind is like a crackpot. It's leaking out. Do you know what would happen if we stopped having communion here at the church? We'd soon forget about Jesus. We'd forget about the poor wise man that delivered the city. But we have that to remind us that Jesus came into this world and his perfect body was broken for us on the cross of Calvary. That his perfect, precious blood was shed for us in our room instead and satisfied the Father for our sin. Well, Brother Ronnie, what about the foot washing service? Yeah, I need the foot washing service to remind me what I should be in the service of God. To remind me that in the service of God, I just need to be a servant to others, not to think of myself more highly than I ought to think, but to serve others and put others before myself. Someone says the best way to spell joy is put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. You know, by doing that, wow, you can have a good attitude in this world. Now, I want to tell you that good attitude that the Apostle Paul is exhorting them to have here, that I hope that I'm exhorting you to have, the devil hates that. And that's why we have to put on the whole armor of God to stand against those wiles and temptations and troubles of the devil. Also, if you're going to go forward and have that good attitude, you're going to have something to feed you, because you've got to have some endurance. You know, the Bible calls this a race. And I want to tell you, it's a marathon race in serving God. I remember it was the Lord that told Elijah, remember through the angel, he said, rise and eat, the journey's too great for you. And I want to tell you, the journey's too great for all of us. It's too difficult for all of us. But I want to tell you, it's not too difficult for God. And because of his temporal grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has never called on us to do anything that his grace is not sufficient to provide for us to be able to do it. And in the end, just having a good attitude and serving God makes us all a lot easier to be around, and it pleases God. You know, if we can do anything in this life, let us focus on just pleasing him and him being happy with us. I want to tell you, when it comes to heaven, we've already been made accepted in the beloved by what Jesus did. Let my walk and my attitude, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. And God, help me to have a better attitude in his service, that during this little time that I have on earth, maybe I could encourage another child of God and encourage them and help them by being an example of their walk. May God richly bless you. It's our prayer. If there's anyone here today, you'd like to come forward and ask for a home here at Eden Grove Primitive Baptist.